Martin 12:1-24. The title of this is Understanding Affliction. We're going to look at some scriptures in the psalm first. You can just listen if you want to. David, Psalms 119:50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 37, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word. We see a hint here that afflictions are used by the Lord to bring the flesh under control. Psalms 119:71, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75, these are all in Psalms 119. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou is faith, that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Psalms 119:92, unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine afflictions. Here's what afflictions is in the Strong's: depression and misery. The higher the call of the deep, or the deeper the affliction process goes. This is how God trains his people for service, like it or not. And a lot of people would argue over that. It's because they ain't been there yet, probably. Don't want to go there. 2 Timothy 2. There's an upside to this, so don't get discouraged. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 1. Paul's talking to Timothy here. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, get your mindset to how they train in the military. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So I just wanted you to know there, afflictions is to suffer hardship. No one likes hardship. Okay, let's go further. Galatians chapter 6. You know, when we first got into this 10 years ago, didn't have a clue about any of this. Really, I had started experiencing things when I went on television, you know, not understanding what in the world's going on here. Right here, this is Galatians 6:17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I looked up the marks here. A scar of service. A mark incised or punched for recognition of ownership. Your dad had a word of prophecy back in September, and it basically says that most people, there are very few that ever reached the place that we've reached because they were not willing. They can't take it, the flesh part of it, the hardship that goes with it. They can't take it. And I thought, that's why in the Faith Hall of Fame, it seems like a handful throughout the whole Bible that actually went on with God. And they suffered. All of them had their hardships. Think about Joseph. Think about Moses. And so arming ourselves with that and knowing if we're going to go further with God, the hardship will come because we're going against the grain of things. We're punching a hole through that darkness, and we're bringing in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Now, when the devil's gone, no problem. But until he is, affliction. And on the other side of it, it's like being tempered, being put in a furnace of fire, like the three Hebrew children. They walked into the fire, but they weren't burned. What does that do? It tempers you. What does that mean? It means it hardens you. So you can go in and endure. Yep. Indeed, it does make you stronger. And that's the purpose. And it's not to do you evil or harm. It may appear so at the very beginning, but it really is to bring you to a place of glory like you've never known before. We'll see that as we keep going here. Let me say that again. Marks, scar of service. A mark incised or punched for recognition of ownership. I made Paul look like a walking scar. All right. But think about it. That's why there's just so few in the Faith Hall of Fame as compared to the whole Bible. Most never will. The first little sign of trouble, they jump out of the fire. Go running back to mama like John Mark did. Now later, he wrote the book of Mark. He was used. Paul said, Mark's of use to me. But when he first began it, when they come across a slave girl and got thrown in jail and got beat up, he said, no, not having none of that. Because we all come up under, I remember the first spirit-filled church, really, that we were ever a part of, that man saying, oh, God never wants us to suffer. In the Scripture, they never wants us people to suffer. I'm thinking, that's all this thing is full of. I mean, David ran from Saul thinking he's going to kill him at any time for 13 years. And he was anointed king over Israel. It sure helps me understand why I have had the type of lifestyle I have, especially when it comes to ministers of the gospel and the old system. They don't know anything about it because they ain't been there. A few of them might have been a little bit, but I don't know how many have pulled out of this place here. It's just too hard. I guess God wasn't in it, or blah, blah, blah. No, it's probably because you were not willing to be tested and trained in what you called to do. They just thought they was going to come in here, set up their building, and build a big congregation, and have all this stuff going on, and not have any tribulation at all. But that just isn't the way it works. You will be proven within an inch of your life, whether you will obey or not. And God's doing you a favor to do so. And we're going to look at that. All right. Luke 4. I've heard people say, well, God doesn't do evil. And I said, I agree with you. He does not do evil. But I said, don't you think for a minute. He won't let the devil test you. It's all through Scripture. Right here, Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. I know those aren't words you want to hear, but that's the truth. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. He got tested to the maximum when he was the weakest. when he felt like he had nothing left. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. The man was starving. And Jesus answering him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto them, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. There's the other part of it. Into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, and being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for a read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up, 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent unto save Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Heck of a first day, wouldn't you think? First day on the job. I thought he was arrogant. Why? Because he knew who he was, and he knew God's word. And they tried to kill him. You see why he needed to be tempered? He needed to be able to eventually go to the cross. Thank God we don't have to go to the cross. He did that for us. But God's doing us a favor for letting our flesh scream to get it under control where he controls us and not we. The earlier teaching about just doing stuff in the flesh. Yeah. Praying the rosary. All right. All right. Without the widow's experience, he would not have been able to handle the persecution. He would not have been able to be prepared for the crucifixion. For whatever God calls you to do, he is going to set up a training program. I wished I'd have known all of this when I started. I didn't know any of it. You know, cried many in oceans of tears, just not understanding what in the world is going on here. And realizing there's nothing wrong with me, not physically, but you feel horrible. This is the enemy. God uses him at his discretion. He'll allow the temptation to come to test your faith, to get you ready for what he's called you to do. All right, James 5. verse 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborer who have reaped your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. But be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So what is he saying here? He's warning us to be patient in suffering and affliction. You know, in Job 1, 2, and 3, God allowed Satan to come in and kill, all his kids were killed. He lost all of his livestock, and all kinds of things happened to Job. And for however long, they say about a space of 9 months to a year, he went through the affliction that he did. But you know, at the end of the day, whenever it was all over, what happened to Job? We're going to read about the ending of Job right here. He had fair weather friends that sat there and condemned him the whole time that he was there. But good things happened to Job after he went through his hardship. This is starting 42, starting with verse 10 there. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and they all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Well, the Lord allowed it. He does not do evil. And comforted him over all the evil that the Lord brought upon him. And every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. And so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Happuch. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Their father's father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So the latter end of Job was a lot better than before he went through his testing. All right. We're going to look at some scriptures about affliction. You know, like I said, I'm just preparing you because nobody prepared me. I had to learn along the way. All right, Acts 7:11. I don't think that's right. Just a minute. Okay, we're going to skip that 7:11. It talks about affliction, but it's not really. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. That same chapter, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And I don't know why I put it there, because that's not about affliction. Anyway. What can I say? It's been a tough week. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we see on the other side of that affliction is the glory. Okay, chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. All right, now go to Philippians 4, 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. We're going to look at what affliction is here in a minute. I'm going to read these scriptures first. 1 Thessalonians 3:7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted overall in all our affliction and distress by your faith. It was commonplace. Here's what affliction is. Pressure. Anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, and trouble. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Like I said, it's like this pressure is applied, but it forces you into glory. We're pushing back against demonic forces. Yeah. All right. 1 Peter 4. Verse 1 there. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when he walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. See, God's not going to turn you loose if you abuse people. It's not going to happen. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to trial you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So, you know, That's one good gauge to know is you're walking in the right place when these things begin to happen. All right. Does this mean that we must be a victim or just suffer whatever that comes our way? I don't think so. If you're looking at God's way, it leads to victory every time. If you side in with the devil, you'll be a victim. A prime example is Paul and Silas when they were, you know, ministered to the slave girl and the devil was cast out. And when the people that made money off of her saw that they were what they did, then they beat them up. They put them in prison and beat them up. And at midnight, they sang praises to God. And then God delivered them. The angel shook the prison. The doors opened and their bonds were loosed. We're given the armor of God to stand. We are not just told, you just take roll with the punches. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Go over to Ephesians 6. There is an upside to it. Like I said, Jesus was full of power when he came out of his wilderness experience. Did he get flack everywhere he went? Yes, he did. But it was usually always from the religious leaders. All right, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. These devils are doing this. That's principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's coming. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loin girt about with truth. This is talking about your mind here, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know who you are. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All right, I've got some thoughts on that. Our focus should always be that we have already won the victory. We have God's armor. The enemy would try to terrorize you into thinking it won't ever be any better, just a grow worse mentality. That's why you have to have your loins covered, the helmet. We must use our armor of the Word of God to force the kingdom into existence in our lives. Like I said, we're going against the grain of things. The God of this world system. All right, Acts chapter 8 is a good example of this. You want to turn to that one. No, it's 28. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get to what do I do with my pen? Typing too fast. Now, Paul, being in that hurricane, being on board ship, not having anything to eat, they were ragged out, I'm telling you. They were weary. They shipwreck. And they have to swim to shore. It's cold. And here, this is what you see. Talking about weak. Just weak. All right, right here. Verse 1. And Paul was consenting unto his death. Wait a minute. I'm at 8. It's 28. Sorry. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he had should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him, and he healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So, because of what he went through, and he shook off the viper and he just kept going, what happened? The whole island heard the gospel. People on the island that were sick got healed. Isn't that the goal? He had to go through a hard thing. And he was on his way to Rome to stand trial for something he didn't even do. All right, Paul learned to shake it off and walk like it never happened. Is that where you are today, or has Satan caused you to become totally defeated? What does affliction cause? It causes you to get hardened. So you're not moved by what you see, but only by what you believe. Well, Paul had courage because on that ship, before it shipwrecked, an angel stood beside him and said, "Take heart, Paul, you will stand before Caesar." So he knew he was going to make it. He'd heard from the Lord. All right. Paul went from, "Lord, take this off of me," to shake, shake. Not overnight, of course. Never give up or give in. Just like Job got the prize at the end, at least a double portion, so will you. Remember, with the suffering also comes glory and consolation. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures there, then we'll be done. Philippians 3:14. He makes this, well, let's just start with 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Prize here means an award. Ephesians 6:16 talks about quenching all the flaming darts of the evil one. That means to extinguish, for it to go out. Extinguish all the fiery darts. Paul was saying to the Lord, "Lord, please take this off of me." He said, "No, quench it." He's given you the grace to quench it. All right, that's going to be it.